Please rise. Glory to the Father, sing. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace in the name of our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, when my family and I were still living out in San Francisco, we decided one 4th of July to head down to the Presidio to watch the magnificent fireworks display. Now, we had all, and I had certainly throughout my life, been to many fireworks shows before in all the places that I'd lived, but I'd never lived in a city the size of San Francisco before, nor with a backdrop as amazing as the Golden Gate Bridge. And so I was pretty excited to head down for that wonderful display, both for myself and for my family to see all of that. But, as is often the case in the Bay Area, especially in the summer months, mid-afternoon, the fog rolled in across the bay. And when it came for the fireworks show that evening, the fog had not yet lifted. And so, as the fireworks were fired up into the sky, all that we or anyone could see was a changing of the color of the fog, from red fog to blue fog to green fog to white fog. We heard the explosions going off in the sky, and of course we saw the fog change colors. But we couldn't see the bridge at all, and we didn't see a single firework. What could have been a really wonderful evening with a fantastic fireworks display ended up being a complete dud and a total disappointment. I kind of think that is how many of the Jews felt about Jesus. If you remember our Old Testament reading this morning, God promised David that, and I quote, that his house and his kingdom would endure forever, and also that his throne would be established forever. And yet, not long after David died, his kingdom was split in two. And then, a couple of hundred years later, his kingdom and his throne were overthrown by foreign powers. The people were taken captivity into foreign lands. And his city, the city of David, Jerusalem, and its walls were destroyed. Had David lived to see any of this, I'm sure he probably would have had some pretty big questions for God. It would be some 1,000 years after David that the reestablishment of his throne and the fulfillment of God's promises would finally take place. But it wasn't anything like anyone expected. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but for all intents and purposes, at least from the perspective of the people, Jesus was a lot like that fireworks show that we went to in San Francisco. Kind of a dud and a total disappointment. You see, you have to remember that Jesus or the Messiah had been foretold and expected for centuries. He was the promise of their past and the hope for their future. Every generation of Jews lived in great anticipation of his coming. They longed to have a king once again. And not just any king, but a king like David. A warrior. A leader. A defender of the people. Into this world of great expectations, which had been building and intensifying for 1,000 years. Enter Jesus, a little baby born to a simple couple in a small town in a lowly stable. You couldn't hardly design a more unkingly set of circumstances for the eternal King of the universe to be born into. And yet, there he was. And so, like I said, he must have appeared as kind of a dud and a total disappointment. Now, I know that seems rude to say, but that is pretty much how the people viewed him, especially as he began his ministry. I mean, the people, of course, thought it was really cool how he could heal people of their diseases and even raise the dead and such. But ultimately, those powers really only mattered if he would use them to drive the Romans out of their land. And that wasn't something that Jesus ever planned or promised to do. And thus, if we look at Jesus as a king, he was pretty much a disappointment. Add to that disappointment the fact that he then got himself crucified by the very Romans that he was supposed to drive out of the land. And you can quickly see how he was seen by most people as pretty much a dud. So what happened? How could God's promise to David and the angel's word to Mary go so terribly wrong? I mean, he was supposed to be a king. Enter the world as a servant. Instead of showing strength, he demonstrated weakness. Instead of doling out wrath, he extended mercy. Instead of reigning forever, he died at a very young age. Like I said, what happened? How could God have been so wrong? Well, he wasn't. Jesus was exactly what God said he would be, just not what the people thought he would be. You know, back in Jesus' day, and I guess I would say even in our own day today, we too often expect this heavenly king to reign as an earthly king, as an earthly ruler. We want him to get rid of all the problems in the world, all the evil in the world, to establish peace on earth and goodwill to men like the angel promised. We want him to get rid of everything that makes folks suffer, to make sure that all the tragedies and all the accidents of life and, you know, car crashes and natural disasters, they just don't happen anymore. In short, I guess what we want is our heavenly king to establish a paradise on earth, right? To make our lives perfect. I think that's how we often think about God. But you know what? God already did that once. and it didn't work. He established a paradise on this earth back in a place called Eden. And we, humanity, chose sin over righteousness. And so the eternal kingdom that the eternal king came to establish is not a kingdom of this world. It's a kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, there is no evil. There is only peace and goodwill toward all, where everyone's needs are provided for, and where all illness and disease and suffering and sorrow, it's gone. In the kingdom of heaven, there are no natural disasters or tragedies, but all of life is at peace with God. You know, Jesus came to establish a very extraordinary kingdom, and so he had to be a very extraordinary king. So he came as a servant to live like one of us, so that he would know firsthand about the pains and the struggles that we go through in our lives. He gave the appearance of weakness and of frailty, so that through him we could see the power of God shining through. He won his subjects over, not through conquests, but through the power of love and mercy. He established his kingdom, as it says in our Old Testament reading, from everlasting to everlasting, not by becoming indestructible like some superhero, but by dying on a cross at a very young age. The extraordinary Messiah established his extraordinary paradise by being a servant, by loving, by showing mercy, and finally by going to a cross and paying the price of our sin, and by rising from a grave in victory over death. It was through these means that God has forgiven us, and it's through our forgiveness that we are then granted access to his heavenly kingdom. I hope and I pray that you never think of Jesus as somewhat of a disappointment in your life. I know that's easy to do as you struggle through things. But if you ever find yourself thinking that way, it is sure to be because you're expecting Jesus to be something or to do something that he never promised to be or to do. We have to remember that his kingdom, while certainly eternal, is not of this world. And thus the blessings and the gifts and the promises of his kingdom may not be experienced by us in this world either. And thus may we live in expectation of that life in that world that is still to come. In the name of Jesus, our coming King, amen.